And as I was working through this week and thinking about what to do, it just seemed like the week unfolded. And as the week unfolded, I thought, this is where, Lord, you want me to go here this morning. And so as we come together and we look at this, I think this is something here, this verse this morning, and these thoughts are for us. When I say us, they're for believers. How do we continue to operate in this world right now? How do we continue to function in this world right now? Let me show you a picture of somebody that this was him, extended family member, Louisville, Kentucky, going to work last night. Husband, wife, 4 children. And this is how he had to dress before he got going to go to work in Louisville, Kentucky last night. And when I saw that, and it was sent to me and said, could you pray for this kid? Man, yeah. And I woke up this morning and I went to my computer just to see if anything happened in Louisville, Kentucky last night. And it was quiet. But when we see this and we see what's happening and we see these things beginning that are transpiring in our nation, as I prayed earlier, we thought things were starting to get all... And then Monday, events happened. And with these events, we see our nation again become very volatile, very angry. To know there's a death in Detroit. Don't know the behind it, but somebody's using it for whatever reason. And to know that there's men who are going out there in our own nation dressed like this to protect everybody else. And as we stop and we think about that, and when I entitled my message this morning, When Life is Going to the Wolves. When life is going to the wolves. Matthew 10 and verse 16 says this, the Lord says this, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I think as we look at our land and we look at what's been happening around us and we begin to breathe a sigh of relief and now we begin to see certain things happen again and then this explodes on our nation. Some of you heard the name John Piper. He's now retired. But he was the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Minneapolis for almost 40 years. That was his town. And I saw on Friday a prayer he posted as he prayed for that city and prayed for our nation. We're hurting as a nation. And what are we as Christians supposed to be doing? How are we supposed to be responding? How can we react to what's taking place around us at this time? I think is so, so important. As I shared earlier, the fact that they're finally opening a hospital for one visitor, that was the greatest fear we had. What if somebody goes in the hospital and you can't be by their bedside? And to hear in the past how that people died without loved ones by their side. So we see things begin to open up, and then we see an event like this that just happened, and we stop and say, okay, Lord, what's going on? In chapter 10 of Matthew, we find here, and we've been through this a little bit, but we find here the Lord is talking to his 12, and he's getting ready to send them out. He says, guys, got a job for you to do. And I'm going to send you out into a society that's basically filled with wolves. And you are to be a sheep. Now, if you know anything about sheep and wolves, they're not friends. One of the blessings of the millennial kingdom is the fact that the wolf and the lamb will lie down together. There'll be peace. I happened to watch one video just to kind of get an idea. And sheep are totally at the mercy of wolves. And it showed a wolf jumping over a pen into a pen of sheep. And just going up and chasing the sheep, and all the sheep could do is run around this little circle, and all of a sudden they grab them by the rump, take them down, clamp down on their neck, and just hold them down. And the sheep kind of lay there, and they'll kick a little bit. That's it. Until they're gone. Now, I don't like that picture. Because that means that's me. By the Lord's picture that he gave his 12. I want to be like the sheep that were in Alberta, Canada. And the wolves were attacking the sheep in Alberta, Canada. And so what did they do to the sheep in Alberta, Canada? They put a double leather collar around the sheep's neck, and between the two pieces of leather, they had poison. So that when, and it was furry like a sheep, so that when the wolves bit into that sheep's neck, they busted the poison vial or the collar and they died. That's the kind of sheep I want to be. All right? But that's not what Jesus asked us to be. And I have to step back myself and personally look at these portions of Scripture and ask, okay, Lord, how do I live it? How do we live it? How do we make it happen that it's real? As we look at this and we see what's happening here, he says he's going to send them out. He's sending them out. He says, guys, you're going out, and here's what I want you to understand. And as you look at this, what we have here is we have four animals: sheep, wolves, snakes, and doves. And as we stop and we think about that, it's kind of like sheep and doves and snakes, oh my. Sheep and doves and snakes, oh my. Forget the wolves. Okay, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. You know, okay, Wizard of Oz. Well, here we are. But as we look at this, we have to stop and realize, and this picture here is very, very interesting because it's a simile. For you people that know a little bit about English, a simile is a comparison using the words like or as. And we have them in English all the time. Right here he says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be ye wise as serpents. Comparison. That's what he's doing. And as harmless as doves. Comparison. Many believe that probably this was not original with Jesus, because they found in ancient Hebrew writings and commentaries this very thought. In the Midrash, which is a word that means in the Hebrew, a commentary, if you want to say, it's a textual interpretation or a study, there was this phrase. Let me see. It says here, the Midrash compares Israel to a lone sheep surrounded by 70 wolves, the 70 Gentile nations at that time. How great is the sheep that stands among 70 wolves. How great is the shepherd who rescues and guards it and who thwarts them from harming it. Old Testament commentary, Jewish commentary on the nation of Israel and this picture of sheep and wolves. Jesus himself, there was another Jewish writing, it says this, with me they are innocent like doves, and with the nations, talking about the nation of Israel, and with the nations, they are cunning like serpents. And what this Jewish author was saying was that with God, the Jewish nation was innocent as doves, but with the Gentiles, who they didn't like, they're as cunning as serpents. So this concept, this idea that is before us this morning is not something that, if you want to say, was probably original with Jesus, but is what Jesus used to tell the people, that his disciples, as they were going out into a world, here's what you can expect, here's what you need to be doing. Very apropos for us. Now, if you take that portion again in Matthew 10, and you want to get a little bit of theology in it, this is a telescoping portion of Scripture. And what do I mean by that? He was talking about the very moment that they were going out. He was looking ahead to Acts, the book of Acts, when they were going out now as a church. And if you study that whole chapter out, it takes you clear into the tribulation period. So what he's saying at this moment about sheep and wolves and snakes and doves is all based upon the fact presently, in a couple of years, and at the end of the age. The behavior is still the same. The analogy, the simile, is still the same. So what we need to do here is we need to unpack this a little bit, because, again, my nature and your nature begins to step back and go, I don't like this idea. So we get off the picture here, and we go forward here. You got to start up there. You got a wolf and you got a sheep. When life is going to the wolves, Matthew 10 and verse 16. And the first thing, and today is just going to be some big principles. I use this verse. The deacons and I sat down and we were talking about what are we going to do, how are we going to do it, etc. We use this verse as a guiding principle and how we need to operate as a church. This is one of the verses, it's one of those principles that it's timeless in its application. So what do we see here? Number one, God has a part for us to play in this world scene around us. Sorry, I thought I put the A in there. I saw it this morning and I changed it, but it didn't take the change. That's all right. God has a part for us to play in this world scene which is around us right now. Look at this verse here. Behold, he says, I'm going to get your attention. I send you forth. Behold, and this is an emphatic form. Jesus is using the idea here, I am sending you, and the word that's used for send is the idea, I am sending you because I am the one who has the authority. I am sending you because I am the one who has the power. I am sending you because I am the one that commands the scene. And he said to the 12 at this very moment, he says, I am sending you out personally. And as he sends them out, and he's sending them out personally, as they go out, I am sending you forth, and that word there, send, is in the present tense. I am sending you forth as sheep in the middle of wolves. So the same thing is applicable to us today. We're living in a world of wolves. Now, they don't know if they would like that termination or terminology or not, but that's the terminology Jesus used, so I'm going to stick with it. And he says, what's happening here? He says, you are going out as a sheep surrounded by wolves. And he says, I have the authority to do this. I have the authority to send you out. I have the authority and power to help you in the midst of this difficult situation. And when you stop and you begin to think about that a little bit, I don't know if we've all acted that way, but we have to. In Matthew 7, verse 15, he says, the Lord says this, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. We have this picture that's found throughout the New Testament. In Luke 10 and verse 3, the Lord says, go your way, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. That's even worse. Not even a sheep, a lamb among wolves. In John 10, 12, he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. Paul used the same analogy in Acts chapter 20, verse 29. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. This picture, this analogy, this simile is found throughout the scriptures, and it's one that sometimes I think we struggle with. Isaiah 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And what's Isaiah 53 talking about? The Messiah, Jesus Christ. And as Isaiah predicts what was going to happen here, and as he's predicting what was going to take place, he talks about our Savior. And as I stop and I continue to ask myself these questions in regards to what we see happening around us today, how would Jesus respond? Is what I have to continue to go back to. Continually go back to, how would Jesus respond? Because any other response is probably going to be wrong. Probably going to be wrong. When we watch the reaction from Monday to Friday to Saturday, every response of what we saw there, I think there has been some good responses. Excuse me. There have been some protesters who have done things right. But there were rioters who did things wrong. And folks, you know, this is always the one you have to deal with. And I'm gonna look at Mike this morning. You know, we always think about addition. And if you add two negative numbers together, what's the answer? Is it going to be negative or positive? When you add two negative numbers together, what's the answer going to be? Negative. But when you multiply two negative numbers together, what's the answer? Positive or negative? Positive. That doesn't make sense. And yet our world stops and believes that because this wrong was done, I'm justified to do something else that's wrong. Two negatives don't make a positive. I even had a pastor tell me that recently. Because the governor broke the law, we don't have to follow her law. Two negatives don't make a positive. And can I share something with you? What that pastor said is exactly what's happened in Minneapolis. Same principle. Same principle. Two negatives don't make a positive. And believers, we got to get a hold of this. The exact same thing that happened in Minneapolis, I had a pastor tell me about our governor. Now, I don't agree with what she did, but it doesn't give me the right to disobey. And we got to get back to the book. And the Lord said, I'm sending you out in the middle of wolves. How are you going to respond? Number two, we have a message or a mission that can turn wolves into sheep. We have a message and a mission that can turn wolves into sheep. If he was sending his disciples out into the midst of wolves, what was his purpose? Feed the wolves? No. It was to change the hearts of wolves and make them sheep. And when you and I stop and we think about what's going on around us and what's happening in our nation and the anger and the angst and the bitterness and all that's taking place out there and the hurt and all that's happening out there, we have a message that says, God loved you so much, he died for you. And that's what changes the heart of a wolf into the heart of a sheep. And as Christians today, as we stop and we continue to watch what's happening and we see what's happening in the world around us, we have to be careful. We have to be careful the message that we're proclaiming. There's only one message that can change any of this, and it's the message of the cross. It's the message of our Savior. It's the message of his love. It's the message of His salvation. And as much as we struggle, this week when I was just meditating upon this and thinking about this and seeing this verse, and I stopped and thought, whoa, He sent him out with a message. And what was He supposed to do? Feed sheep? No, He was going to change wolves into sheep. Not all of them. In fact, probably not many of them. But that's why He sent them out. That's why He sent them out. With a message that can turn wolves into sheep. So as He sends His 12 out, as we live in a world that's, it's struggling. Where is the church supposed to be? And then this next one is the one that makes me squirm. Our part is one of vulnerability, not dominance. Our part is one of vulnerability, not dominance. What do I mean by that? Generally speaking, people look at this portion of Scripture, and I've seen this, and I've read it over and over again, and basically they say this: sheep are what? Dumb. Okay? And if you study the life of sheep, generally they're not the brightest crayon in the box. Okay? They're not real sharp. And the general consensus is that we are sheep and we need a shepherd. If we don't have a shepherd, we're going to wind up in a heap of hurt, which is very true. But in this comparison, and this is so interesting about what Jesus had to say, this verse is a comparison. And He says this: I send you out forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And He says, be therefore what? Wise. And the word there for wise, we'll look at it in just a moment, carries the idea of shrewd. But as sheep are going out at this point, there is a position of vulnerability as sheep go out. And when He's sending people out, you know, we begin to say, Lord, why would You do this? Wolves eat sheep. It's not safe out there. If it's all the same to You, Lord, I'd rather stay here in the pen where the wolves can't get me so easily. What am I supposed to do when a wolf comes after me? It's not a fair fight, Lord. If a wolf attacks me, in regards to wins and losses, wolves are undefeated. In fact, a wolf is probably licking his chops right now, thinking of lamb chops for supper. But that's our part. As He sent us out, as He sent the 12 out, it was one of vulnerability, not dominance. Because a sheep never won a fight against a wolf. So what do we do? You know, what's going on there? We kind of think in our mind, I want the superhero costume. You know, I want to be Flash, man. If a wolf comes after me, he's not going to catch me at all. I'm going to be running. You know, or an Incredible Hulk or something of that sort. You know, we want the superhero costume. And Jesus gives us a costume of sheep. And Jesus sends us out as sheep, as being vulnerable, as yet never winning a real fight on our own. And there's your critical key. We will never win a fight on our own. Because the Lord said, I send you out. I send you out. And the only way a sheep can win against a wolf is when the Lord shuts the mouth like He did a lion in a den. And then we'll see our position of vulnerability become a position of dominance, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. Because of who He is. And when Jesus was here at this point and He was talking to His disciples and He says, I send you out into this world, we have to stop and realize we've got this world to continue to live in. And we're going to be going to this place or that place. Or, you know, even yesterday I heard there was a, you know, there was a gathering in Traverse City at the open space down there in regards to the George Floyd situation. Good for them. And how do we respond? How do we act? How do we react to these situations? And how do we see what's going on here? And He sends us out to bear witness. And as we bear witness, we go out as the underdog. Why? So we can't claim the glory. So we can't claim the credit. We go out because He says, I'm going to give you the authority. And so He sent the 12 out. He sends us out. And as we stop and we think about this, another principle as I look at this is this. Our vulnerability is coupled with godly sense. Our vulnerability is coupled with godly sense. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore... Okay, you're a vulnerable sheep. But here's what I want you to think about. And He goes and He says, therefore, be ye wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And our vulnerability is coupled with godly sense, good common sense, if you want to put it that way. I like that thought. And what is this here? We find a godly sense that is practical. Now, I don't know if you can see it up here. That's actually the face of a snake. Okay? That's a face of a snake. Ophidiophobia. Ophidiophobia. That's you. That's one third of the Americans. What's ophidiophobia? You can probably guess. Fear of snakes. One third of the American population has some form of ophidiophobia. All right, I can remember as a little kid, we had these little dictionary books that were, you know, they were kids' stuff, and they were nothing but pictures and pictures of animals and all that. And the one that we always liked to watch the most, or look at the most as little kids, was the one on reptiles. And the one on reptiles was just filled with picture after picture of different snakes. And I can remember as a little kid getting that and go, wow, look at that. And then I'm thinking, I don't want to touch that page. I got to turn it. So grab the corner and just keep your fingers on the white and flip it over to see oh, wow, look at that next snake. I guess as a kid I had ophidiophobia a little bit. But as Jesus talks to His disciples and He says, you're going out and you're going to be sheep, He says, I want you to do something. Act like a snake. You go, why? The snake was in the garden, and the snake was wicked. No, the snake wasn't wicked. It was possessed by Satan, which made it wicked. But it says the snake in the garden, Genesis 3 and verse 1, was more subtle, was more crafty than any other creature on the planet. So can we take that thought and say, okay, what's that mean to me as a sheep? Because that's what it is, a comparison. What's that mean to a sheep, as a sheep? The word there, as we stop and realize this and think about snakes, there's over 2,900 species of snakes on our planet, ranging from the Arctic Circle in Scandinavia to as far south as Australia. We do know this, that there are no snakes in Antarctica, Ireland, Greenland, Iceland, and New Zealand. So if you have a fear of snakes, there's where you can go. Otherwise, there's snakes around. And what's interesting about snakes is the fact that they're everywhere. How many of us see lions roaming everywhere? No, we don't. In fact, lions are dying off. The king of the beast But you can probably go to almost any place in the country, and if you know where to look and how to look, you're going to find a snake. Yeah, I know what you're thinking right now. They're all in Washington, D.C. No, they're not. Okay? But the fact is, snakes are everywhere. And yet, how often do you really see a snake unless you're intentionally looking for a snake? And the thought when you begin to look at this picture and see what's going on here and seeing the simile, the word there says this, be as wise as serpents. And some of your Bible, excuse me, has the word there that means shrewd. As you stop and see the word shrewd, here's some of the other ones. Practically wise. Practically wise is another definition of that thought there. Practically wise. The word there in the original language means sensible. Sensible. The idea of prudence denotes one who has a quick and correct perception. Somebody who has a quick and correct perception. The word shrewd means having or showing sharp powers of judgment. And sharp powers of judgment means you can survey the scene and boom, you can come up, okay, we got to do something like this, we got to do this, got to do that, whatever, and there you see it and you can, boom, you can move on it. That's the thought behind shrewd. Prudent, acting with or showing care and thought for the future. Discreet, discretion. Discretion, the quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing offense. Behaving and acting in such a way as to avoid causing offense. Be wise as serpents is what the Lord's saying. And you begin to take that word there and you begin to parse it out and you begin to dig into the definition of that word and you find a practical lifestyle of that of a Christian. You see what's happening. You see what's on the horizon. How do I respond? You see what's happening. See what's taking place. How can I deal with this without being offensive to people around me? Now, truth will offend. But there are times that there is no truth. Just your own personal opinion. And the Lord said to these disciples, you're going out as sheep. You're vulnerable. He said, I want you to do something. Be smart. Be smart about this. As Jesus commands his disciples to be wise as serpents, sensible, thoughtful, discerning, intelligent. Let me ask you something about a snake. Ever come up on a snake and all of a sudden, what's the snake try to do immediately? Generally, he goes the other direction. I like watching shows where, you know, especially in Australia. And you stop and think about Australia and all the poisonous snakes down there. And I can remember seeing some guys catch snakes down there and even the black mambas at other places. You know, and you take a black mamba and if you corner it, yeah, it's going to rear up. But if you're going and if it has a chance, that black mamba will, you know, here's a smart snake. Well, he's not smart. He got enough venom to kill an elephant. He doesn't know that. But when you come up upon him, what's he try to do? Go the other direction. Every time you watch these guys catching snakes. And they're in the wild, and they reach out and try to grab the tail first. And then that snake is trying to pull away and get away and run away. And I think it's very practical when he says, be wise as serpents. He says, there comes a point in time as a Christian, it's better to run. And you stop it. What? Yeah. Better to run, to fight or to flee. To fight or to flee. John Bunyan, we know the Pilgrim's Progress. We saw the story of his life and what was going on there. And he was in jail. And he was told many different times, I'll let you out of jail. He had four kids. One of them was blind. You can get out of jail if you stop preaching the gospel. And what did he say? I'm going to stay in jail. He can't tell me to stop preaching the gospel. 14 years. But somebody else might stop and say, you know what, I'm going to run. I'm going to go somewhere else and preach the gospel. And you know what? That's okay too. Think about it for a moment. There was a time that Moses fled. There was a time that Moses stood. There was a time when David fled and a time when David stood. There was a time when Jeremiah fled and a time when Jeremiah stood. Paul fled. Paul stood. And there comes a point in time to be careful about this when we stop and think about the practicality of being as wise as a serpent, to be as shrewd as a snake, that sometimes God asks certain people to run, other people stand. When Paul began to persecute the church in the book of Acts, it says there that the people fled from Jerusalem, but the apostles stayed. And both were right. And both are right. And in this situation here, there's this sensibility. There's this sense of practicality. There's this sense of, can we do this without being offensive? Let me give you a prime example. Remember Jesus? Hey, Lord, who got a coin here? What do we do with this coin? What do we do with taxes to Caesar? Now, you all know Jesus' response. We don't sometimes think, oh, Lord, taxes. You know, render to Caesar things that are Caesar's and God to things are God. What could have Jesus said? Did you ever stop and think about that? Caesar, are you kidding? That wicked, vile, adulterous, unqualified leader to lead the land of Rome? He could have said that. And be truthful in saying it. He is going to go to hell and he's going to burn in Sheol just like all the other wicked leaders. He could have said that. What did he say? Render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar and to God the things that belong to God. That's practicality. That's being as wise as a serpent. There are certain times you just keep your mouth shut. When I was ordained as a pastor, it was on the day of December the 7th, 1990. It was an anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And I'm standing before the ordination council. One thing that one of the guys told me before I ever got started in the coaching I got in regards to that day was this. Keep your mouth shut. I said, what do you mean? He says, they ask you a question, don't volunteer any more information than exactly what the question they ask you. Because the minute you begin to expound is the minute they're going to tie you up in knots. And so I kept my mouth shut. Good advice. They ordained me. But there comes a point in time, I think, to be as wise as a serpent is to understand, as Jesus could have and didn't, how we need to respond. How we need to respond in this world that we are sheep in the midst of wolves. And so as we stop and we think about what's happening here, he says this, and he tells them, be practical. Be very practical in your approach to the wolves. Number two, a godly sense that is pure. A godly sense that is pure. And he says, be as harmless as doves. Have you ever been attacked by a dove? You know, even Alfred Hitchcock's old movie, The Birds, they never had doves attacking people, I don't think. Some of you remember those movies. Okay. All right, but as you stop and realize the sense here of purity, what do we mean by that? The word there for harmless, and some of your Bibles have it that way, means innocent, pure. It actually came from the Greek word which means unmixed. And it was used in the Greek language to talk about mixing water with wine. And in fact, that during that time, when the people at that time drank the wine, they mixed it with water. And if it was unmixed, it was pure wine, then that's they said that they used that same word here. It was also used with the same idea of a metal and the alloys of metal. You don't mix it. You got pure 24 karat gold. The thought here is that's the same word that's being used here. This idea without any kind of mixture of evil, no mixture of guile or deception. This purity of life and lifestyle that causes the world not to be able to point their finger. Now, sometimes the world will. But Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of being wrong or doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. What's going to happen? In the midst of wolves, they will still try to falsely accuse. Peter says, live such a life that they'll get to a point that they cannot point the finger as much as you can. And that's the concept here of being as harmless as doves. And we have doves outside of our house, our one window. We have a bird feeder up there. You know, and I watch the doves. It's interesting. They are very gentle. You know, my wife can do a dove sound pretty good. And I said, you'll be in the back room with and all of a sudden we'll hear this dove sound coming through. You know, but you hear the dove sound. My son, he says, that's his favorite bird sound, a dove. And I remember as a little kid in my grandma's house down in Carrollton, Maryland, and we'd wake up in the morning, and they lived out in the country, and you could hear those doves in the morning. I woke up to hearing the doves cooing. The doves were used as sacrifices. They were clean birds. They were pure birds. And there have been two times that I've sat by my window, and all of a sudden I see a flash come down by the feeder, and there sits a hawk with a dove in his claws. And yeah, doves are also defenseless, just like sheep. Except they're pretty good flyers. If you've ever tried to shoot a dove, they can be flying directly at you, and as soon as you stand up, they will do a 90-degree turn, boom, to the left or the right. And if you're a good marksman hunting doves, your goodness will be basically one dove with every three shots. They're good flyers. That's free for nothing, okay? That's free for nothing. But what happens here is this. He says, I want you to go out your sheep. And he says, I want you to have a godly sense that is very, very practical. I want you to have a godly sense that is very, very pure. People don't question where you're coming from. They know who you are. They know what you're up to. Could I share a verse that is interesting in the NLT, which is really, and I like the way it was translated. In Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, Paul's writing, he says this, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. That's the NLT translation. You know, let your speech be seasoned with salt, gracious. But live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Wise as doves. Harmless as doves. The right response. Our Lord, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Our Lord, when he was cursed, did not return with a cursing. In fact, as he hung on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And what did John call him in John chapter 1, John the Baptizer? Behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus took that very same picture and received it and applied it to himself. And we need to do the same. We need to do the same. We, as God's sheep, have the message of love. We have the message of forgiveness. We have the message of hope. We have the message of reconciliation. What are we doing with it? How do we as Christians deal with the George Floyd situation? As wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. How do we deal with what is truthful and what is not truthful? As wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. How do we deal with overreach by government officials? As wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. How do we deal with the tension within our nation right now? As wise as and as harmless as doves. I'll tell you what, that's hard. But that's what Jesus told his 12. And that's what Jesus is telling us today. And are there a lot of things out there that we wonder, what do we believe? What do we do? What do we say? How do we respond? Yes. But what's my guiding principle? Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. My big idea, you understand it. Don't aggravate the wolves. Don't aggravate the wolves. Because that's who's out there. Now, do we have freedom of speech? Yes, we do. Do we have freedom of assembly? Yes. But we got to be careful as sheep not to aggravate the wolves. Because there are days and there are times around our world where the wolves win. And the sheep do go home to their shepherd. June the 29th, an international day of recognizing martyrs, June the 29th. Those who have died for their cause. The wolves, quote unquote, apparently look like they won. Nah. The sheep just went home to their shepherd. They went home to their shepherd. And so today, as we deal with this and we watch our nation and we continue to struggle. I hope you're struggling in your heart too. I hope your heart is burdened. I hope there's some angst in your own spirit as you continue to watch the news and you stop saying, "Man, Lord, what's going on? And how am I responding? And how are we dealing with this?" You know, and it's interesting too, and I don't disagree with it at all. But what has made this even so much more difficult as church leaders and men across the country is the fact of the social media. Social media has made this so much more difficult. And so what has God asked the church to do with social media? Be as wise as and as harmless as? Because we're sheep in the midst of wolves. Don't aggravate the wolves. If you have a chance to slither under a rock for the time being, then go under the rock. You can still be light to that person right there or that neighbor right there. You can still be salt to that one person, to the next person, to the next person. And so as we live in this world today, I hope that this gives you some context to wrap your minds around how we need to continue to move forward. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Only God. So how are we going to respond? As sheep in the midst of wolves, as wise as serpents, and as harmless as doves. And so, Father, this day we close asking you to help us do the supernatural. Asking you to help me to respond in the right way. Asking you to help me to see things clearly, unmixed in regards to what the world says and what your Bible says. Help me to stay focused, close to your heart, as you send us out to witness to a lost and dying world. A world that's hurting, a world that's angry, a world that's hostile, a nation that finds itself in that way. Father, may we, as your children, as your sheep, bring a sense of calmness, practicality, discernment in how we deal with the situations we find ourselves in. Lord, we pray for our leadership in our land, that you would grant them wisdom and understanding and clarity of heart and mind, so that we, as your people and as your children, can live a quiet and peaceable life in this world. Lord, help us to understand your biblical principles and live them. So as we go forward from this day, Father, thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the opportunity to travel from here to our homes, to be able to just enjoy the goodness around us too. Father, if there's someone listening or here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, has never yet become a sheep, help them, Lord, to understand what you've asked us and realize that our God died for us so that we might have a relationship with him. Thank you for that, Lord. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.